And he thinks of us just as we're supposed to put him first. It's as though he has put us first in his life. Amen. And I'm thankful for that. Well, it's good to be back tonight in the Lord's house. We praise the Lord for each of you that are here. I told you some of them wasn't going to come back, didn't I? Of course, you already knew it. Amen. It's amazing to me. Folks come and they say they leave. They say, boy, I enjoyed the service, and they don't come back. I wish they wouldn't enjoy it so much, so they'd have to come back and get a little bit more. Amen. But we're not concerned. Of course, we are concerned about them, but we can't labor on the fact they're not here. We just rejoice over the fact that you are here. And praise the Lord for that tonight. Amen. And you're good and scattered out. So if the bomb hits tonight, maybe just four of us will go. There's only three parachutes and one backpack. So grab what you will and hang on. Amen. All right. But it is good to be back in the Lord's house tonight. Yeah, loosen up back there, Brother Shane. Get your hair out of your face and enjoy life. Amen. Might as well. Amen. Praise the Lord. All righty. Well, we do appreciate you folks. We do appreciate your support as you support us monthly. It enables us to go. Someone asked me earlier this morning if we'd made any mission trips this year going to another country. And I said, no, we have not. Not as far as going to another country, but we've made a couple of mission trips this year in the United States. And you say, well, what? Yeah. We've been able to go into two small, very small churches and just share the gospel with them. And the reason we were able to go is because this church and other churches like this support us. We were in two churches already this year, and we're going back. So it's not the money issue, but we were in the two churches, and their love offering, because they're so small and struggling, trying to get works going and keeping things going. Their love offerings weren't even enough to pay our expenses to get there, let alone to get there, pay our bills, and leave. And so, but we're not complaining. God's faithful. He always sees to our needs, and that's the reason I'm thanking you for your blessing us and being a part of our ministry of support. And it enabled us to go back or to go to these churches and preach to them. Otherwise, they would not have been able to have an evangelist in. And we're thankful that God chose us to go. Amen. And it's an honor to me to be able to go and share the gospel of Jesus Christ, get to share with folks the love of God. And that's an honor, to get a love offering. That's like having nanners in your nanner pudding. Amen. Praise the Lord for that. If you'll open your Bibles tonight to the book of John chapter 3 and verse number 16. John chapter 3 and verse number 16. I noticed several of you were not listening this morning, so I'm going to preach the same message tonight. Most of you will not be aware of it. You'll never catch it. And so we'll just see how it goes. All right. If you'll stand with us tonight, we will read. I'm not saying you're dumb. It's just you're not real smart. And so, if I thought that, I don't know what I'd do. But anyway, that's not it at all. We like to have a good time. If we can't have a good time in the Father's house, where can you enjoy yourself? Amen. And I'm glad that we can. I'm glad God doesn't expect us to come in all sour looking and saying, I'm sure glad I'm saved and I'm enjoying this Christian life. I'm glad God doesn't expect us to be that way. Amen. And we're certainly not here for a funeral service. We're here because of a resurrection service. Amen. And so we ought to act like it and enjoy the blessings of God. John chapter 3, verse number 16, the Bible says, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. Let's pray. Father, I want to thank you tonight, Lord, once again for your word. I'm glad, Lord, I know we think we've got to have a different message, a new message, and all of this all the time. But God, I'm glad your word never changes. Lord, it'll do for the morning, it'll do for the afternoon, it'll do all during the day and at night, and for week after week and month and year and on, Lord. I'm glad, Lord, that your word will always work and always do. Father, we just pray tonight, now, Lord, that you'll speak to us again and speak through us. We pray, God, for those that didn't make it tonight. Lord, I feel like something happened because some promised us they were coming back, and I believe they fully intended on it, just something came up. Lord, we pray for them. We ask you, God, that maybe it was not some kind of disaster. And even if it were, Lord, we pray, God, that you'd lead them through that and help them through it, Father, and comfort them. We pray for those that may have had to go into work today, Lord, that you bless them. Be with them, Father. Let them know we miss them. And then, Lord, we pray for those that, Lord, they're just backslidden. Lord, their heart's cold. They don't care about you that much that they would go for two services. We pray for them tonight, God, that you'll bring conviction up on them, even though they're not here. You can reach into their heart there at home and convict them tonight. I pray that you would, Father, that they'd realize, Lord, they're not coming for me or anyone else here, but they're coming because they love you. I pray you'd help them, dear Lord. I pray tonight now that you'd meet with those of us that are gathered here in your name. Lord, you said where there are two or three gathered in your name, you'll be in the midst. I believe there's more than two or three tonight here because they love you, because they want to serve you. This is the place they know that you want them to be, and so they're here. So I pray tonight, God, that as you walk about in our midst, Lord, that you would speak to our hearts, that you'd bring a blessing. Even tonight, during the service, I pray, God, that you would bring a blessing to us and just dump it in our heart tonight and open our hearts that we might receive it with joy unspeakable and full of glory. I pray tonight, Lord, that you'd do a work in our hearts tonight. Lord, as we think about revival, and we certainly need reviving, Lord, I pray you'd do a work in our hearts tonight. Lord, if there be somebody here tonight that's lost, we ask you that this will be the night that they'll come to know you as their personal Savior. Have your will and way, Father. We'll thank you, praise you, and honor you for it. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Thank you. You may be seated. As we said, John 3:16, one of the most quoted verses of the Scriptures that we know of, and we just keep reading it. I just keep reading it and keep applying it to my life, and it keeps me fresh. Amen. I mean, it does. To think about the love of God. And so that's what we want to talk about tonight, is the love of God. We look in the Scripture. We preached each point in the Scripture this morning and what God had given us. And then thinking about it this afternoon, I got to thinking about this love, this so loved. And I got to thinking about this love, how great this love is. It's more than our little minds are able to contain. Amen. The love of God. It's vast. I mean, it covers the whole world, the love of God. It's amazing to me that, you know, we preach about God's love, and God loves every one of us that are here tonight. Amen. But he loves those folks down the street, no matter what building they're in tonight, and no matter what God they're worshiping, he still loves them. Amen. He loves those that are not even in church tonight. He loves them. Hey, he goes beyond Cumberland or Woonsocket, Rhode Island, and he loves folks in other cities. I mean, tonight, at the same time he's loving us, he loves them. And it goes beyond that. He loves folks that live outside of Rhode Island. Amen. And then it goes beyond that. He loves folks that live outside the United States of America. Boy, what love God has. Amen. I mean, it's vast. It just covers the whole universe, my friend. The love of God. I mean, then when we bring it back down to me, I like it when we say, for God so loved the world, and we think about that love that he has for the whole world. But I'll tell you what really blesses my heart is when I bring it down and I realize God loves me. Amen. Boy, that excites me when I realize that Jesus died on the cross for me. Amen. I mean, it just amazes me that he would do that for me. If I were the only person on the earth, Jesus Christ would have still died for me. Let me get a drink of water. My pipes are kind of getting dry. Did you wash your hands in this? Amen. Tastes good. Amen. But this love is amazing, isn't it? I mean, for God so loved. Miss Pam sang a song when he was on the cross. I was on his mind. In that song it says, he knew me. He knew me, yet he loved me. Amen. Boy, that just blows my mind tonight. I can't comprehend that he would know me. It's not just that he knew that one day I would come to that place where I would accept him as my Savior. But he also knew this. He knew that even after I got saved, that there would be times that I would fail him. And he still loved me. Now that would change most of us, in our heart and our direction of love. If we, you know, we loved somebody and we knew that later on that they were going to let us down. I'm talking about big time. I mean at a time where that we're really counting on them and we know they're going to let us down at that time. We probably wouldn't love folks like that, would we? I mean, be honest, we probably wouldn't. But you know what? God knew that there was going to... He knew, I think of Peter, he knew that Peter was going to deny him three times. He knew it. He knew that when they were taking Jesus away to be crucified, he knew that Peter was going to follow him afar off. He knew all this about Peter, yet he loved him anyway. Boy, isn't this love something? I mean, it's just amazing. You know what I find out about this love? This love, number one, is unconditional. It's unconditional. Usually we love folks because they love us. Huh? We like them because they kind of like us. And so it's easy to like them, amen? Easy to love them. But his love is unconditional. It's not, his love has nothing to do with us loving him back. It has nothing to do with us giving him our heart. It has nothing to do with us living for him. He just loved us. The Bible says, while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us, meaning that he loved us while we were sinners. The Bible says that he commended his love toward us in that while we were yet sinners. And so when we were sinners, when we were not only unlovable, but my friend, when we didn't love him, as a matter of fact, we didn't have the time of day for him. We didn't care about God. We wasn't thinking about God. We just had no concern for God. Even then, God loved us. His love is unconditional. Boy, you let somebody do you wrong one time. You might let them do you wrong two times. And there's a possibility of maybe three times, but you go beyond that. You say, the Bible says 7 times 70. I know what the Bible says, but I'm talking about me and you. They start doing us wrong a few times. You know what we're going to do? Cut our love off. There's some of us sitting here tonight that's mad at somebody else. We can't hardly stand it because they done us wrong. I forgive them, but I ain't forgetting. And the whole time we're saying it, we'd like to get the news they fell over dead with a heart attack. Really, some of us would. We think it would bless us if they hurry up and die and get out of the way. Amen. But God knows that we're going to fail him. 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 You say, Brother Danny, if we fail him that much, well, stop and think about it. How many times have you failed him since you accepted him as your Savior? I'll bet you more times than you think you have. Amen. Because there were times when you knew to do right, but you just didn't do it. It wasn't that you did wrong. You just didn't do what God wanted you to do. You know what you did? You failed the Lord. How about those times that you did what God wanted you to, but you didn't do it his way, you did it your way because it was more convenient for you to do it your way instead of his way? Amen. You failed the Lord. I got news for you. You failed God. There's a lot of preachers that are getting up tonight and preaching, my friend, and they're going to preach, but they're going to fail the Lord in their preaching. Why? They're not going to preach the message God gave them. Oh, they got a good one, but it's not the one God gave them. They're doing good, but not right. I'm glad his love is unconditional. I'm glad that he loves us in spite of us. Look with me in the book of Ephesians. In the book of Ephesians. Now, folks, listen, I think we need to major on Christ. Amen. We need to major on Christ. Amen. I mean, he is number one. Praise the Lord. We need to recognize that. And that's the reason we preach this morning John 3:16. And that's the reason we're preaching John 3:16 tonight. It's not for Danny. It's for God so loved the world. Amen. And we need to major on Jesus. And when I get to thinking about this love that God has to us, he manifested his love through his son, Jesus Christ. Amen. He showed us his love at Calvary, my friend. We literally, we saw the picture, if you will, of God's love at Calvary. Amen. I mean, it's beautiful. It's colorful. It's exciting. It's very detailed, my friend, the love of God there at Calvary. Amen. Well, I'm telling you, His love is unconditional. Look at Ephesians chapter number 2. Let's begin reading in verse number 1. The Bible says, "And you hath He quickened who were dead in trespasses and sins." He's talking about all of us now. That's where we were. We were dead in trespasses and sins. And then the Bible says, "Wherein in time past you walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, the spirit that now worketh in the children of disobedience." You see what God is telling us, how we used to live, what we were like when we were lost. And then He says in verse 3, "Among whom also we all had our conversation in times past in the lust of our flesh, fulfilling the desires of the flesh and of the mind, and were by nature the children of wrath, even as others." Now notice verse 4. "But God, who is rich in mercy, for His great love wherewith He loved us." Amen. I mean, the Bible tells us how bad. And my friend, if you'll look at these scriptures and if you'll take some time and let God speak to your heart as you read these verses of scripture, though there just be a few here, if you'll let God open your heart, you'll see what God has to say about us. We were dead in our trespasses and sins. You know what that means? We were wicked, vile, ungodly human beings. We were lowly human beings. Oh, we lift ourselves up, we exalt ourselves, and we think we're something great and wonderful and magnificent. The truth is, God looks at us and we're just like worms. Amen. And God, He explains to us that we were that way. We walked according to the powers of this air, of this world. We walked according to the power of Satan, and we walked according to the flesh, and we did those things that the flesh wanted us to do. Do you realize in God's sight that that's as filthy rags? Amen? You see, we quickly read a verse of Scripture and we say, "Oh, isn't that something? We were dead in trespasses and sins." We don't stop and consider what God's trying to tell us in these verses. God's speaking to us, and He's letting us know how wicked we really were. Amen. But then it talks about wherewith that great love that God loved us with. All of a sudden, we realize something. Even in our ungodly state, God loved us. When I was so wicked, my friend, listen to me, God still loved me. Well, I'm telling you, it's an unconditional love. It's not that He loved me because I was so wonderful and I was so sweet. I was so marvelous. My friend, the truth is, I was so bad, yet God loved me. Amen. Well, we ought to get, listen, I'm serious, we ought to get humble before God because of it, to think of who we were, that we were ungodly, and God loved us anyway. Unconditional love, praise God for it. Amen. But I also noticed something else there in John 3:16 about this love. As I begin to think about this so loved, His love is a providing love. Well, you know, love does that, doesn't it? Mom and dads, doesn't love provide? Isn't it a providing love? Husbands, isn't this love that we have a providing love? Boy, we think of our wives, we think of our children. We want a job that's within a man's heart to work and to provide. And to provide for his family. It's really, now we're getting away from this because now our government has stepped in and they've assumed the role. Their role is to provide for us. Now don't get mad at me for telling you the truth, but that's the government's role today. They want to provide for us. You know what that means? Listen, when our children, well, let me just use my wife. My wife, she depends upon me to provide for her. Amen. It helps her to be submissive to me to realize that I am her provider. Amen. I mean, anybody with common sense would say, well, if they're going to provide for me, the least I can do is listen to them and follow them. Amen. In other words, it's only right for me, if they're going to take care of all of my needs, it's only right for me to become their servant. That's exactly what our government's wanting out of us. Amen. We're losing this thing of providing for ourselves. There's no pride. There's no pride in everybody else giving to you and giving to you. You just come here because everybody's giving to you. There's no pride in that. Amen. There's no self-respect in that. Amen. But it's totally different with God, because God doesn't make you a beggar. God takes you from being a beggar. Amen. He does provide for us, praise the Lord. Aren't you glad? Oh, I'm so glad that He provides. Listen, He provided for us a Savior. John 3:16, for God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son. He provided for us a Savior. This love that God has toward us is just like the love that we have toward one another. As a matter of fact, we'll find out the good traits that we have in our life, they come from God. The providing for a wife, the providing for our family, children and all, we got that from God. Some man didn't thunk it up. I know the right words, think, but I like to mess up some of your minds. I do, because you expect us to be poor old ignorant folks. We're from Alabama. I just want to prove you're right. Amen. Listen to me. It's not how you say a word. It's what comes from your heart. Amen. By the way, every one of you mispronounce a word every once in a while. Amen. But man didn't come up with this idea of providing for his family, providing for his loved ones. We got it from God, because the Bible teaches us that God provided. Remember with Adam and, I'm sorry, not Adam, with Abraham and Isaac, as they're going up on the mount and God is about to expect Abraham to sacrifice his son, He says, take thine son, thine only son. And then when they get up and they're going up the mountain, and Isaac looks at his dad and he says, Dad, said you got, we got the fire, we got the wood, where's the sacrifice? And the Bible says Abraham spoke and he said, God will provide Himself a sacrifice. God's always been providing. Before you and I ever came along, He provided. Why? Because of the love that He has toward us. He provides. He's provided for us a Savior, my friend, Jesus Christ. He's provided for us eternal life. Amen. Again, John 3:16, for God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish, but have everlasting life. He's provided for us everlasting life. This love that God has for you and I, my friend, it's brought about the provision of eternal life. Well, we don't even realize what all we've got in Jesus, do we? Amen. I mean, it's wonderful, it's marvelous, it's exciting to know that God, young people, listen to me. Sit over there, all calm, that's all right. You're used to watching the old folks, I understand that, but you need to just spark up a little bit. Listen, it's not as bad as you think it is. God's provided a Savior for you, and with that Savior, He's provided eternal life. We ought to get excited, folks. I mean, really. And we ought to get excited without somebody telling us we ought to get excited. Amen. Sometimes it's tough being a cheerleader, especially when you don't have the legs for it. Amen. Don't let your imagination go there. Some of you get real sick real quick. Amen. But He's provided for us eternal life. Justin, calm down, son. It's going to be all right. I'm not going to show you. Amen. Teach you not to wash your hands. Amen. Eternal life. But not only that, listen, in the provisions that God has made for us through love, amen, it's all because of His love. No one has come up with the idea, God, you've got to. God said, I want to. He's assumed that responsibility because He loves us, amen. But listen to me, a woman doesn't look at a man and say, listen, you've got to provide for me. No. She doesn't have to do that if he's a man at all. He assumes that responsibility because He loves her. So it is with God. My friend, He's provided for us an eternal home. It's good to have everlasting life, isn't it? Oh, how soon we forget. It is good to have everlasting life. But isn't it better to have somewhere to live that everlasting life than just to have it? What are you saying? Well, so what? We're going to be alive for all eternity. Where are we going to be? Well, I would. It'd be a sad thought to think we're going to be in that box that they bury us in. We're going to have eternal life laying in that box. Woo! Doesn't that sound exciting? We're going to lay there in that old dark box, and we're going to live throughout all eternity. Woo! Glory to God. That ain't nothing to get excited about, is it? But God said, Jesus is speaking in John chapter 14. He says, let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there ye may be also. That there is where I want to be. Amen. Where is that? There. There is where Jesus is. Throughout all eternity. Y'all have to excuse me, I gotta get another drink. My pipes are real dry tonight. I think I got some sinus problems. That may be where that guacamole came from. No. Don't think of that while you're eating it tonight, all right? Amen. But it's good to have an eternal home. We get to shouting, and rightly so. Sometimes as preachers, we get real picky. Some of you folks, you talk about that street of gold. Some of you talk about the walls of jasper. Some of you talk about those gates of pearl. You act like that's the greatest thing. No. But let's face the facts. I ain't ever seen nothing like that. For us to play it down is just as bad as some folks that overplay it. Can you imagine being in a city that the walls of that city are jasper? The gates that come in and out of that city, each gate, the Bible says, is one pearl. And that don't excite you? Something's wrong with your exciter. Probably your battery's run down. Amen? And you need to change your battery. Amen. You're having a good time, aren't you? You don't ever have that good a time around your husband, do you? Yeah, I know you had to say that. No one else enjoys being around him either. I just want you to know that, all right? Amen. But listen, that home in heaven, I get excited. When somebody, there may be a song that talks about the street of gold, the walls of jasper, the gates of pearl. I get excited about that. Listen, if we get excited about an old 2000 model motorhome, you get excited about that old house you live in. I don't care what it is. If that excites you and you say, boy, looky here, what God's blessed us with, I say, have yourself a happy time with it. Amen. Because God's been good to us. And to think of our eternal home yonder in heaven, how beautiful heaven must be. No, how beautiful heaven is. I get excited about that. Well, he's provided for us a home where we can be for all eternity. And imagine this. There'll never be any gutters to clean out or to replace. Huh? There'll never be a new paint job needed in heaven on our mansion. No new roof needed up there. No shoveling snow. There will not be, up and down the roads, there will not be a yard sale. No recycling bins. That ought to make y'all shout. It does me, and I don't even recycle. The only way we recycle, we go down the road, I say, Pam, ain't nobody behind us, throw it now. I don't do that. Some of y'all want to report us right now, aren't you? You find any garbage in your yard, you're going to cuss the lungs for weeks. I know where this came from. He told us. Won't be any of this junk in heaven. This is enough to laugh and smile and rejoice about. Amen. God's provided for us an eternal home. And thank God that there is where Jesus is. So when I think of all these things that make heaven, heaven, and it is the street of gold. It is the walls of jasper. It is the gates of pearl. It is that river of life that flows down through it. My friend, if that wasn't important, God wouldn't have made it that way. But let me tell you what shines brighter than any of these things in that eternal home. Jesus is going to be there. He's going to be there. Boy, that's what's really going to make heaven, heaven. Amen. I mean, listen to me. No doubt we could get there. We could enjoy the street of gold for maybe a few hundred, maybe even 1,000 or 2,000 years. But after a while, if that were all that excited us, it would get old. We could enjoy the walls of jasper as we gaze upon them and say, wow, the gates of pearl, all these things of that beautiful city. We could rejoice over those things, but after a while they would lose their luster. I don't mean that they would need shining up or anything. They just wouldn't be as exciting to us. Why? Because God never intended on that to be our excitement in heaven. But to know that Jesus is going to be there. 1,000 years will come and go. We'll still be rejoicing. Why? Because we'll be in the presence of God Himself. 1,000,000 years will come and go. And we will still be excited. And no one will ever remind us again. Well, we ought to be excited. We will just be excited. He'll still be shining bright. Millions of years will come and go, and Jesus will still be shining bright. Amen? Boy, isn't that glorious to think that God has provided for us through His love an eternal home? Not only an eternal home, but according to the Scriptures, He has provided for us all of our needs. Philippians chapter 4, verse 19 says, He says He has provided all of our needs according to His riches in glory through Christ Jesus. All of my needs are already met. He's not going to provide all my needs. He already has. He has allotted. We save up money. We put money in the bank. And I say we do. Some folks do. We do. We put it in the bank and we quickly write a check. Amen? And hopefully it doesn't bounce. But people put money in the bank and they say it's for this, for a rainy day. And they allot it sometimes for different things, you know. Sometimes I've not reached retirement age today, but it won't be but just a few more days, and I will. And sometimes retired folks that live on a fixed income, I think that is me. I do live on a fixed income. I bet that's you too. You live on a fixed income, don't you? As a matter of fact, we all do. We do. Everybody lives on a fixed income. All you get is what you get. That's fixed. Amen. And so we set money aside for this and for that and for the other. And hopefully that money will still be there when that need comes up. That's not the way God does it. Listen to me, God already knows what the needs are, and He's allotted for those needs, and they're already met in Jesus Christ, my friend. We don't have to worry about something else coming along and taking that, for God's going to take care of all of it. He's provided our needs. You say, yeah, I knew that. But do you know why? Because He loves us. Because He loves this. For God so loved. Boy, there's so much to this so loved, folks, that we just have a hard time comprehending it. But it's a providing love that He has provided for us through Jesus Christ, His only begotten Son. He loves us. Young people, listen to me tonight. He's already provided for you. Listen. He's already provided for you from the oldest of you to the young. This is the no zone over here. I'm sorry, I didn't mean to get that close to y'all. No wonder y'all all sitting over here away from them, amen? From the oldest, it'll be all right. From the oldest to the youngest, listen to me, God's already provided for you the right husband or wife. It's not that one day he's going to come up, boys. It's not that one day, and I say that respectfully, it's not that one day he's going to come up with the right girl for you. Girls, it's not that one day he's going to come up with the right boy for you. It's that he already has in mind the right one for you. You remember these days? Yeah. You're not sweating like you used to. Things change fast, don't they, son? But God has already got a young lady provided for you. You say, I don't want her. Stay that way for a long time. Young lady, what's your name? Haley? Haley, listen, Brother Danny, don't get scared, okay? But God's already got a husband picked out for you. Yuck. That's a sickening thought, isn't it? Yeah. But he has. It's not that he's going, he already has. Now, your job is to live for God. We're going to get into another area in just a minute about his love as a guiding love. You got to get in that area of guiding. You've got to let God guide you. Because if you don't, you know what you'll do? You'll find you a husband or a wife. And it won't be the one God had picked out for you. You say, Brother Danny, you really believe that God... I don't really believe that. Do you believe God provides your needs? Amen. Then this is a need. You don't think God's concerned about the right spouse, as we use the term, the right spouse. You don't think that bothers God. You don't think he's not concerned about us having the right one. Because, my friend, just any old one is not the right one. But God has that one particular one that he's got set aside just for you. Amen. Well, how do I know when it's the right one? You don't have to worry about it. See, that's just it. We worry about these things. We talked this morning in Sunday school about faith. Faith is believing God. Not seeing, but believing God. We just believe God. Don't you know that God, in his wisdom, has got the right one for you? And so if he's got the right one for you, when that one comes along, he's going to let you know this is the bells will go off, the whistles will go off. You will know this is the one. I don't mean, your heart will flutter. Hey, it'll do that. Some of you old folks, yours is still fluttering, and it has nothing to do with your wife. It's called heart problems. Amen. Yeah, so you can't go with stuff like that. You can't go. Why? Those are fleshly things. God will speak to you and God will let you know, my friend. Why? Because his love is a providing love. Now listen, senior citizens. Do you believe that God provides for you? Then quit worrying about all this Social Security. What if they cut it out? What if they do? So what if it goes bankrupt this year? You say, Brother Danny, yeah, it's easy for you to say that because it's easy for me to say that because I believe God. Listen to me. I'm not counting on Social Security to get me through today. You say, well, you're not retired. Yeah, but my friend, listen to me. The only one that I can rely on today for my needs is God. We got to learn to trust God. He's a providing God. Why? He loves us. He's not going to let us go under. Folks, he loves us. He's not going to let you sit there in the house and starve to death. He's going to take care of you some way. If he has to bring the ravens in and let them fly by and feed you, he'll do it. We need to just learn to trust God. Young people, middle-aged folks, whatever is left, you believe God provides for you? Well, then quit worrying about having to work every hour you can to the point you don't have any time for God. Put God back number one on your list and start serving Him. He says, seek ye first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all these other things will be added. You're trying to get all these other things without seeking Him first. And if you do attain them, my friend, you'll find out that's not what you wanted anyway. And it'll only make you all upset, and you're going to want a little bit more and a little bit shinier, a little bit bigger, a little bit newer. My friend, you got to learn to be content with whatever God gives you. Quit working yourself to an early grave thinking you're going to get ahead. Because I'm going to tell you something. You ain't going to get ahead. This world's not designed for you to get ahead. So just enjoy God. Just enjoy putting Him first. Just enjoy seeking after Him and His righteousness. And let Him worry about all these other things that will be added. I'm not going to seek Him first and then say, "But well, I got to worry. How am I going to get this? And how am I going to do that? And how am I going to?" No. He says, if we'll seek Him first, all these other things will be added. I don't have to worry about getting these other things. He takes the worry out of it. Amen. I've never known anyone that's put God first that's ever went under. Amen. Oh, they may not have everything they want, but I got some news for you. You won't ever have everything you want either outside of God. No one ever does, because your want list just keeps growing, getting bigger and bigger all the time. Just learn to be content. Just learn, hey, if God puts you in a pup tent out there to live in, just say, thank the Lord for my little old tent. Be content. Amen. Because if that's what God wants you to have, you'll find that you can be so happy in that little old tent. You'll find out that it's the greatest thing, man. Oh, everybody else got to worry about that big old house to heat. Oh, we got the little tent to worry about. Amen. Boy, women, listen, everybody else worried about 4 bedrooms and 3 baths and all of this other. We just got a little old tent and a path out back. There is some assurance in that, you know. There is some comfort in that thought. And you know what I'm meaning about a tent. I'm talking about just whatever God blesses you with. Just be thankful and enjoy it. And quit to say, "Whoa, I got to do better." Why? Why not let God worry about you doing better? Put Him first. Well, God expects, I know what God expects. He expects us to seek you first, the kingdom of God and His righteousness. That's what He expects. You quit reading into it more than what's there. That's exactly what God expects out of every one of us. Problem is, we take mission money to support our wants. Missionaries are struggling on the foreign field because we're trying to get a bigger house. We don't even need it. Huh? To truth. We got to have this lifestyle with the rich and the famous. And others are going, wanting, my friend, missionaries can't even get to the foreign field and preach the gospel. Some little boy, some little girl, some older folks need to hear the gospel of Jesus Christ, and they'll not hear it. You know why? Because you and I are not seeking Him first, but we're seeking all these other things. Therefore, we can't invest our money in heavenly things. We got to invest them in earthly things that one day is going to pass away. Amen. His love is a providing love. Then I notice something else. His love is a guiding love. Boy, I'm so thankful. I'm thankful for this. His love is a guiding love. Look with me. Boy, there's so many scriptures. Well, let me tell you again, right there in John chapter 14. The Bible says in John 14 and verse 6, and I used the verse this morning, but Jesus is speaking. He said, "I am the way." His love is a guiding love. Jesus is the way. He's the way to what? He's a way to joy. Amen. You won't have joy? Jesus, you'll not have it outside of Jesus. Huh? He's listen to me. His love is it provides for us, and I'm getting back on the providing, but his love, my friend, is a guiding love. It guides us not only to love, but into peace. You know how to have peace? Peace comes only through knowing Jesus Christ is your Savior. Amen. You see, Jesus is the way. He's the way to love, but he's the way to peace. He's the way to joy. I mean, he's just the way, my friend. He's the way to all happiness. Jesus is. Well, he is a guiding love. He said, I am the way. He's the way to live that happy life here on this earth. Amen. He's the way. Listen to me. You will never be content without Jesus. He's the way. If you'll trust him, he'll give you that fulfillment in life, in your heart, that you say, praise God, I'm content. Amen. Now, I admit, I've not sacrificed much in life. Miss Pam has. She sacrificed, ladies. She has sacrificed the security of having a house. A home that is there. No matter what happens to her husband, she's got a home. Now, the problem is now, the home that she has is on wheels, and it wouldn't last long just set up somewhere. Amen. She gave up. We lived in a 4-bedroom, 2-bath house. She gave all that up. My friend, you know what I found out with her over these years? She's content. She's not grumbling and griping. She's not complaining because she didn't have a big old house. She can't invite folks over and entertain them. Amen. Because, I mean, 2 or 3 folks with us in there, it's full. Now, on my part, that's a good thing. I don't care about being around all of y'all. You got that? All of y'all? Okay. That's a Hebrew term. Amen. But you got to learn, in Jesus you can be content. I mean, you can come to that place where you say, praise the Lord, I'm just satisfied with Jesus. And what he's given me, others may look at it as little, but I'm reminded little is much when God is in it. Amen. And boy, I'm just content with the things that God's given. He is the way. Look with me right quick in Psalms chapter. Now, I'm trying to find it. It's chapter 19. 119. Psalms chapter 119. Psalms chapter 119. I'll be there in just a moment. I thought I had it. There it is. His love is a guiding love. We're going to close with this one point, guiding love, but I got several scriptures on us to look at tonight. In Psalms chapter 119, verse number 105. Simple verse, we all know it from childhood, or most of us do. Thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. Listen, his love is a guiding love. God loves us, and because he loves us, he guides us. Amen? He instructs us. He knows how to get us. Do you ever feel like sometimes that the Holy Spirit is saying, hey, come this way? You ever feel like that? You know what I'm saying? I don't really mean that he's standing up there in front of you and say, hey, come this way. But don't you feel like sometimes you come into a place where you're saying, do I go right or do I go left? And if you're close to God and you're living your life for his honor and his glory, you wanna go the right direction, amen? And sometimes it's like the Holy Spirit of God saying, hey, come this way. Or sometimes it feels like as you're walking along, he just kind of gets up beside you. And as he walks with you, it's kind of like he kind of leans into you and he turns you. Have you ever noticed that? And then you say, well, why am I going this way? Amen. Have you ever made a decision in life that afterwards you say, well, thank God I did it that way, but I don't know why. Huh? Well, that's the Holy Spirit of God. That's this love that we're talking about. His love is a guiding love. His word is a lamp unto our feet and a light unto our path. God wants us to walk in the right places. Young people, God wants us to walk for Him and His Word. If you'll read your Bible, young people, listen to me. You read your Bible. Study the Word of God. David said, I've hid thy Word in my heart that I might not sin against thee. Read the Bible. Study the Word of God. Put it in your heart. And you know what it'll do? It'll guide you. It'll keep you from making mistakes that other young people your age makes. Amen. Why? You'll be walking in the light, and the light will show you this is the wrong way, this is the right way. Amen? I'm not meaning to leave y'all out, but amen. It'll help you. You see, you don't have to make the mistakes that some of us older folks have made. You say, well, if y'all made it, I can make it. Well, if you want to be dumb, go ahead. You don't have to make the mistakes that we make. Now, if you want to be a dummy, I'll tell you how to be a dummy. Go put your hand in a meat grinder. Amen. Well, I think we all ought to learn for ourselves. Go ahead. But I'm just telling you, you don't have to. Some of us have made a lot worse mistakes. Some of us have made a lot worse mistakes than this. This is just one that shows right quick. But some of us have made mistakes in our life. I'm talking about not listening to God, not walking in the paths of righteousness, not obeying God, not letting the Word of God shine freely in our lives. It's not just for others to see, but it's that you and I might see ourselves and go in the right paths. And some of us here have made a mistake, and we're sitting here tonight thinking, oh, dear God, I wish I'd have never done that. I did that years ago, and it still haunts me. I still have to live with it today. It still is there. It's messed up my life. I can't get it out of my mind. It's a total disaster. God still loves me, and He's forgave me, but I have to live with this all the time. Some of us here tonight are that way. We didn't walk. We talked about a while ago, God's got the right husband or wife for you. Some of us here didn't listen. We didn't listen to God. And we got out and we found one. And sure enough, after a while, we found out it wasn't the right one. Can I have an amen?
Amen.
It's the truth. It's the truth. Well, why don't we help these young people instead of them? Let's help them. You don't have to make these mistakes. And we don't have to keep making mistakes. His love is a guiding love, my friend. His Word is a lamp unto our feet and a light unto our path. Talking about light, turn with me in 1 John. In 1 John chapter number 1. 1 John chapter number 1. Y'all got anywhere you need to go in the next hour or so? All right, good. Amen. 1 John chapter number 1, let's start with verse number 5. 1 John chapter 1, verse 5. This then is the message which we have heard of Him, talking about Jesus, and declaring to you that God is light, and in Him is no darkness at all. If we say that we have fellowship with Him and walk in darkness, we lie and do not the truth. But if we walk in the light as He is in the light, we have fellowship one with another, and the blood of Jesus Christ, His Son, cleanseth us from all sin. Do you get this, what God is saying? He's saying that He is light. And if we walk in Him, we walk in the light. Boy, look here. Isn't it great in here? I mean, we stood there, and Brother Danny tell us what number to sing. And man, you could look at the song book and see the words. Isn't that wonderful? Some churches are about like the restaurants you go in. You can't even see the menu to order off of. I often wonder how they expect you to order in these restaurants when you're trying to hold that thing over like this right here. You want to ask the guy over the other booth, do you have a cigarette lighter so you can flick that thing so I can read my menu? Amen. For God's sake, the price that you have to pay for the meals look like they could pay for a decent light bulb in them places. Amen. Do you know some churches are that way? I don't know what they got to hide. But some churches, I mean, some of them don't really mean nothing by it. It just has happened. They've got poor lighting in it. We're in some of them. They got poor lighting. I mean, they got a little old chandelier thing hanging out over here and one hanging over yonder. And if you're right under it, you're blessed. But if you're 5 feet away from the center of that thing, you're going, You ask all the bald men, tilt your head this way. Amen. And the little old lady, she says, you just tilt your face this way. All that makeup, it'll shine out over here. Amen. It's amazing what you get by with when you're preaching. You can about slap somebody in the face and they'll say, I love you. Bless your heart. You know what he's talking about? He's talking about Jesus is the light. Amen. Well, when you're here, there's not much of a reason for us to walk around here. And I mean, even if there were a book laying on the floor, there's no reason for us to step on that book or to trip over it. Why? There's light. Amen. Now you walk outside the building and some areas out here, there's dark areas. And you have to be careful where you walk because there's tree limbs down, there's rocks out there, and all manner of things that you can trip over. Amen? Amen. And you can't see those, and so you need a flashlight. You need a light to help keep you from tripping and falling. Amen. The Bible says that God is light, and in Him is no darkness. You know why us Christians keep falling around? It's not because we're old. It's because we don't walk in the light. In Him. We walk our own path. We go our own way. And then when we fail God, we want everybody to understand. And we want to be pitiful about, well, you know, we're all just human. No, most of the time the problem is not the fact that we're human and we fail the Lord. The problem is we're not walking in the light. His love is a guiding love, folks. It's not that He just says, come this way, but He's the light that when we go that way, we don't trip and fall over the rocks of life, over the limbs of life, over the situation and the circumstances. Young people, listen to me. If you'll walk in the light, you won't mess up near as much as some of us have. Amen. And if you and I'd start walking in the light, my friend, listen to me, we wouldn't fail Him so much. Instead of whining about failing the Lord, we'd be shouting over the fact, praise God, He's so wonderful to me. Amen. Why? Because He is light, and in Him is no darkness. That means no, not none. Amen. So if we walk in the light, not only are we walking with Him, but we can see. You know, there's some times that things happen. Well, I mean, it's like the devil's there and he's trying to persuade us, hey, come this way. But if we're walking in the light, you know what? God will allow us to see that's not the way to go. Amen. But if we're not walking in the light, well, the only way I know to do this thing, I'm going this way. We take chances. And when you take a chance, there's a chance you're going to lose. As a matter of fact, most of the time you will. Why? Because you don't really care about what's right anyway, or you would be walking in the light. So it's easy to be persuaded of the devil to take the wrong path. It's a lot easier for you if you're not walking in the light. But sometimes it's like God's got a spotlight on that old devil. He thinks he's hiding in the shadows. Hey, come this way. And he's in the shadows. And we don't see where that voice is coming from. So it must be God. Sometimes, have you noticed? It's like he's in the shadows and God says, pow! The spotlight's on that rascal. And he said, hey, come this way. And you say, no way, Jose. Amen. Praise the Lord. His love is a guiding love. It guides. Look right quick with me in Proverbs chapter number 3. Proverbs chapter 3. Let me get my Bible and we'll look there with you. Amen. Let's look in chapter number 3, Proverbs. Now, y'all have already told me you didn't have anywhere to go for the next hour, and I feel sorry for you. I want you to know you're welcome to stay. Amen. Proverbs chapter number 3. I'm getting there. I got a later start than you did. Proverbs chapter 3, verse number 1. The Bible says, my son. Now, this is written to the Christian. My son, forget not my law, but let thine heart keep my commandments. Amen. These are words of instruction in the righteousness of God. He says then in verse 2, for length of days and long life and peace shall they add to thee. You love his law, keep his law, long life and peace is added unto you when you do that. That's what the Bible says. I didn't say that. The Bible says it. I agree, but that's what the Bible says. Verse number 3, let not mercy and truth forsake thee. Bind them about thy neck. Write them upon the tablet of thine heart. Amen. Mercy and truth. So shalt thou find favor and good understanding in the sight of God and man. Look what God's saying. If we show mercy and truth to folks, we'll find favor in their sight and in God's sight. Some of us are blessed. We have the favor of man upon us. People like us. You know why? Not because of us. We think it's because of us. It's not because of us. It's because we've shown mercy and truth ourselves to them. And it comes back. Amen. And then he says in verse number 4, so shalt thou find favor and good understanding in the sight of God and man. Read that one. Some of you need it again. Verse 5, trust in the Lord with all thine heart. And lean not to thine own understanding. In all thy ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct thy path. His love is a guiding love. He wants to guide us into all truth. He wants to guide our lives. As I was saying to the young people, he wants to guide your life and give you the right one to even, listen, before marriage, he wants to give you the right one to like. There'll be a lot of them come along that you're going to like before you really fall in love with somebody. Do this for me with the young people. Are y'all doing that? Come on. It means you agree. Are they doing it? Most of them are not, aren't they? Some of them got arthritis. They can't do that. And some of them, they get started, they can't stop. Amen. But it's the truth. God wants to guide our life, and he wants to bless us, and he wants to help you. And even when the girls, when those boys come along, there's some boys that you can like, and it'll be all right because God's in it for you to just like them. For some reason, God just uses that to help you grow. But there's some of those boys that come along, God will tell you, you better stay away from them. Because they've got mischief on their mind. And they don't really care about you, and they'll tell you they love you, but in reality, they love themselves. Boys, same way with you. Some of those old girls are wicked as they can be. Amen. Listen, you need to trust in the Lord with all your heart. You say, but there's some things I don't understand. Lean not to thine own understanding. In all thy ways, acknowledge him. In everything you do, in everything you say, acknowledge him. In other words, let him be your counselor. Let God counsel you in the ways to go. His love is a guiding love. He says in verse number 7, be not wise in thine own eyes. Fear the Lord and depart from evil. Now, let me get back over here to the young people. Be not wise in thine own eyes. Some of you are going to say, oh, and I know what Brother Danny said, and I guess he meant well, but he just don't know, and I know. He says, don't be wise in your own self. That's the reason some of us messed up our lives, because we got wise in our own selves. You can't tell me how. I know how. Huh? I know better than you know. Huh? And it cost us, didn't it? We go to sleep one day wise and we wake up stupid. Amen. That's a fact. We need to understand it. He says, be not wise in thine own eyes. Fear the Lord. Depart from evil. It shall be health to thy navel and marrow to thy bones. He says, it's going to be healthy for you. It's going to be good for you. It's going to keep you from doing wrong. His love is a guiding love. I'm just trying to help us to understand something about this so loved. Amen. What love this is that God's got for us, that it will guide us into all truth, that will guide us and keep us from evil, that will guide us and keep us from heartaches and troubles. You say, you mean, Brother Danny, if we do what the Bible says, we won't have heartaches and troubles? I'll tell you this, if we'll do what the Bible says, we won't look at them as heartaches and troubles. We'll look at them as stepping stones in our life to get closer to our Savior. Amen. Right now, every little thing that happens, it's so bad. Paul and Silas, I don't find them in jail whining and wanting to be pampered. They realize this is just a step to get me closer to my Savior. Oh, that's the way it was with the people in the Bible. Why don't we grow up and do the same? Let me give you a couple of more verses. The Bible says in verse number 9, honor the Lord with thy substance. Boy, even there we got tithing. Dear Lord, how'd that get in there? Honor the Lord with thy substance and with the first fruits of all thine increase. What's he saying? Put God first. Then he says, so shall thy barns be filled with plenty, and thy presses shall burst out with new wine. You know what God's teaching us? That principle, seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, all these other things will be added unto you. That's exactly what he's teaching us in the Old Testament. Same thing as in the New Testament in the book of Matthew. And then verse 11. My son, despise not the chastening of the Lord, neither be weary of his correction. For whom the Lord loveth, he correcteth, even as a father the son in whom he delighteth. Boy, even God's son, he tells us, he says, I love you, so I'm going to correct you. Isn't that a sign of love? Isn't that a sign of love that God corrects you? Amen. I know this new philosophy today doesn't go with that, but God's word declares it to be truth. He loves us, and we ought not despise the chastening. When God gets a hold of us and whips us, we ought not despise it. A lot of times, folks, the way they react to God's chastening hand is they get mad at God, and they leave the church, and they get out of God's will. He says, despise not the chastening hand of God. What a love it. It proves that, hey, he's my father, and he loves me. Go home and read the rest of chapter 3. That whole chapter is just a good book of instructions of living righteous and living for God. The whole book of Proverbs. As a matter of fact, the whole book. Hey, go home and read the whole Bible tonight. Amen. It'll do you good. Praise the Lord. But, oh, listen to me. God's love. Oh, it's so awesome, folks. God loves us so much that he gave his son. The Bible says, and I want to go back and underline it, he says that he so loved us that he gave his only begotten son, the one and only that he had, Jesus Christ. Why did he do that? Because he loved me so much. Folks, listen, I'm glad that God loves me. And we're going to be preaching sometime this week on having a right relationship with God. You know, when I realize the love that God has toward me, it makes me want to have that right relationship with him. I believe with all my heart Miss Pam loves me. I believe she does, because she puts up with me, and that's a hard thing to do. Amen. But, Jason, son, you're supposed to be sticking with me, man. We're bros. She has to put up. I believe she loves me. Amen. And because she loves me, man, it just wants me to keep this relationship right. Amen. That's the way it ought to be with God. He loves me. I want this relationship between he and I to be right. And he does too. For God so loved. Man, I don't know about you. That just makes me look at that verse of Scripture And my mind goes wild with the love that God has to me, for me. When I see all the things that He's done, listen to me, the trees out there are from me. The sky in the morning when we get up, if the sun is shining and the beautiful bright clouds will be in the sky, He did that for me because He loves me. And if it's cloudy and rainy, it's because God says, I want you to just kind of lay low today and enjoy and relax. God made those days for me. Amen. Why? For God so loved me. Folks, listen, the devil comes along and he steals this away from us. He does. He takes this personal love away from us, and it's a generic love. For many a Christian, it's become a generic love, but I'm telling you, it's the genuine love that God has for me. For me. And God says, keep it personal because I'm a personal God. Danny Long, I tend after your needs. Now, I don't tend after everybody's needs in as a whole. I tend to your needs as individual. You know what? He says that same thing about you. I've got all your needs met already in me as individuals, because your needs are not going to be like Danny Long's needs, and Danny Long's needs are not going to be like your needs. And you're my child, though you're not like him and he's not like you, but I still love you both the same. Amen. For God so loved the world. What a love. Let's all stand tonight. Everyone standing. I'm going to ask the piano player if they'll get something ready to just play on the piano. We won't sing right now, but if somebody gets something ready for the piano, I'd appreciate it. With our heads bowed tonight, I wonder, you say, preacher, I'm not really saved. I don't know anything about this love. Well, I got some wonderful news for you tonight. For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son for you, that you can have everlasting life. So you can be saved tonight. You say, preacher, that's what I want more than anything. Would you pray for me that I would get saved before it's too late? Is there one like that? Would you slip your hand up tonight? Is there one that we might pray for you? Not going to come to you and embarrass you. Just want to pray for you. Is there one like that tonight? Preacher, pray for me. I'm lost. You don't have to say it. Just slip your hand up. We'll pray for you. Is there one? I wonder tonight, Christian, if there's one of you that would say tonight, Brother Danny, well, I never thought about this love in such a way. Well, God really does. He really loves me, don't He? Yes, the answer is yes. He really does. He really loves you. He cares about you. He wants you to have that close relationship with Him tonight. Now it's up to you. He's already done the work for this relationship. He's laid the foundation for this relationship. And now it's up to you tonight. Would you come and say, Dear God, thank you for loving me and help me that I have a right relationship with you. Lord, that I'd get close to you, that I'd want to walk in that light. Boy, I tell you, I get excited when I think about walking in the light as He is in the light. That means we're walking together, you know. Amen. Because He is that light. For me to walk in that light means I got to walk with Him. He and I are together. Well, what a close relationship we have. What about you tonight? You say, I'd like to have that. I'm not going to ask you to raise your hand. I'm going to ask you to come to an altar of prayer tonight. Just kneel down and pray and say, Dear God, I long for that close relationship. I want to walk in the light. I want to walk with you as you walk with me. Lord, help me. Won't you come and ask Him to do that tonight? Father, Lord, we ask you tonight to have your will and way in this invitation. Do that. It would be pleasing to you. We'll certainly thank you now, Lord. In Jesus' name we pray. Let's keep our heads bowed tonight. Brother Justin's up front. If you need to talk to him, you come. If you want this relationship between you and God, you come. You say, Brother Danny, I already have a relationship. Well, I'm so glad. I really mean that. I'm not being sarcastic. I'm so glad. But let me ask you a question. Can you get a little bit closer to Him tonight? You say, well, sure, we all can. Well, then why not get a little closer? Amen. Why not get a... You think He's satisfied if there's a little distance between you? Oh, no. He's saying, come, get a little closer. Come tonight. Some of us don't even have a relationship with the Lord. Oh, we're saved, but we went back and we're having our relationship with ourselves now. But we don't have it with the Lord. Why don't we come tonight and ask God to forgive us and God to help us? He wants to walk with us. He wants to talk with us. He wants to be the dearest friend that we'll ever have. Why don't you come tonight? Come on. I have decided to follow Jesus. What about you? I have decided to follow Jesus. What about you tonight? What about you? Have you decided to follow the Lord? You ought to come tonight and talk with the Lord about it. Why don't you come? Why don't you come? Come on. Young people, adults, are you satisfied with your walk with the Lord? You say, well, no, Brother Danny, not really. Well, why don't you do something about it tonight? I'm serious. Why don't you do something about it? You say, well, I like the thought of having a close relationship with the Lord. Well, I like the thought of walking with Him in the light. Oh, brother, that'd be awesome. You can have that relationship. You can have that tonight. Amen. It's yours to have tonight. It's just like eternal life. It's yours to have if you want it. But you got to come and receive it. That's the way it is with this relationship between you and Jesus. It's yours, but you got to come and receive it. Come tonight. You say, Brother Danny, I don't think I can live it. Don't you understand? It's not about you living it. It's about you surrendering to it. Amen. It's about you walking with Jesus. It's not about you making sure that you fight all the battles and you fight it just right. It's about walking with the Lord. Let Him worry about the rest of it. He'll take care of it. He'll take care of it. Won't you come tonight? Won't you come? God deals with your heart. Won't you come?
Sometimes we can take so many things for granted, especially John 3:16.